Good morning. Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and here we are in what I like to call the home stretch, the final hour of the program. It is, of course, Thursday, May 3rd, 2007, about 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you still with us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And maybe over at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, all there, courtesy of Webmaster James and his hard work. Our phone number, as always, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Here in this final hour, I had some news that I wanted to get into, but as is always the case, my friends, I'd love to interact with you, and you're more than welcome to call in, and we can do an open line hour here if you prefer to do that. So we do have Roger in Pennsylvania with us. Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, when I called before, I did want to throw in on that geocentric theory, okay, which he alluded to again towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And my apology if a little redundant because I missed the earlier parts of the show until I hear the tape. But, you know, there had been a sort of recrudescence of that geocentric theory, that is, the Earth being the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And currently it's the heliocentric, that is, the sun is the center of the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was sort of the hill, well, I can't say on the hill in which they were dying, that is, the Roman Catholic Church, but this was sort of a central tenet against, I guess, Copernicus and maybe Galileo and following.
Mm-hmm.
But there had been some, and this was in Chalcedon Report, I don't know, 6-8 years back, that would be Rush Dooney's publication, there was a preliminary mathematical model being fleshed out, and it could be actually quite robust. And in fact, there was some deep well experiment where they had a pendulum buried in a deep mine shaft so that it would be excluded from any undesired influences, wind, etc. And if it swung a certain way, then it would comport with the heliocentric model. And if the numbers worked out differently, well, as it turned out, the numbers supported the geocentric model.
Wow.
And almost exactly. And
that's
totally
interesting.
I don't know anything about it at all, and it's beyond me as far as the actual how far the development of this geocentric theory is.
Mm-hmm.
But it would turn out perhaps that the Roman Catholic Church may be regarded as right, if for the wrong reasons,
mm-hmm,
as is often the case.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, yeah, you know, that's amazing because we hear, whenever a subject like this comes up where somebody is certainly flying in the face of what the conventional thought process is, you know, you hear about studies that come up and you're saying, why did I never hear about this before? And it is amazing how information is sanitized throughout history, certainly, and definitely in a current event type scenario, you know, deciding what people should and should not hear, what they should and should not know about.
Now, of course, the Roman Catholic Church, what was it, about 6 or so years ago, knuckleheadedly carved out this niche of room for naturalistic evolution,
you know,
millions of years and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly knuckleheadedly in that there's no evidence, or let alone proof, for that model.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I couldn't leave that out in passing.
Right, right.
Well, it's an
interesting thing, and I think that the Catholic Church is sort of angling itself to be either the leader in such a change, or at least a great, great influencer into this sort of all-encompassing one-world religion, you know, leaving the door open for this. And let me, if you're willing to hang on, Roger,
please.
I'd like to keep talking. Folks, stay with us. Just a short break, only 3 minutes, and then more Frankly Speaking Radio and more of your phone calls. Stay with us. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to
to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Well, I try my head again. I try not to sink in this world I made from you.
Folks, you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whelan. We are taking your calls, and Manny said he's fallen asleep in there. So 800-313-9443. Let's go back to Roger in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. I just wanted to wrap with this one point on the Catholic Church's carving out that wiggle room for millions of years of evolution. And at first blush, I was thinking, well, they merely don't want to be embarrassed in the contemporary public mind, like they were over the issues of Copernicus and Galileo, et cetera. But then I thought to myself, well, that's true, but it's not so much that they're afraid that they're going to get, they're going to go down on that one again so much as it is they're merely continuing thousands of years tradition of syncretism with the wisdom of the world. Mm-hmm. And that is more to the reason, I think, why they carved out that wiggle room.
Mm. So
it's like what's popularly understood is more important than what would be transcendently understood.
Absolutely. It's a very, very good point. And I think that gels with what we were talking about, too, about this inclusiveness of a global religion, something that welcomes everyone as long as they believe in something, you know, and you know, as a group think mentality, you have to be you have to have that wiggle room, obviously, because there are always going to be new cults and religious belief structures popping up in order to encompass somebody's belief. And it could be anything. I mean, this day and age, you look at various political issues. Those are very much like religious fervor with which that the politicians and the political action committees pursue stuff like that, such as global warming, for example. I mean, they're fanatical about these things.
Oh, God bless, Frank.
Hey, thanks a lot, Roger. Fantastic points. I really appreciate it. Even as an ex-Catholic. It's amazing stuff, folks. There's a lot of interesting things out there, and I think it's important to cover some of them. One of the things that we've heard about in terms of global warming is this obsessive fad at this current point to endorse energy-saving technologies and things like that. And, hey, I'm all for that. Okay, not because I want to save energy. I could care less about saving energy. What I want to do is save money because I'm poor. We're all poor. We all struggle to get by. We all look at the date on the calendar and go, ugh, I've got this bill due or that bill due. So we want to find ways to save money. I know I certainly do. And you may have heard some various recommendations and endorsements about things to conserve energy and supposedly, therefore, conserve money. Very, very important story that came out last weekend on Saturdays when I came across it. And if you've not heard this, this is vital that you pay close attention, okay? So here we go. It's from Canada.com. How much money does it take to screw in a compact fluorescent light bulb, otherwise known as a CFL? Well, about $4.28 for the bulb and the labor, unless you break the bulb. Then you, like Brandy Bridges of Ellsworth, Maine, could be looking at a cost of about $2,004.28. Substantial amount of money. That does not include the cost of frayed nerves and risks to health, it says. Sound crazy? Perhaps no more than the stampede to ban the incandescent light bulb in favor of compact fluorescent light bulbs. According to an April 12th article in the Ellsworth American, Bridges had the misfortune of breaking a CFL during installation in her daughter's bedroom. It dropped and shattered on the carpeted floor. Aware that CFLs contain potentially hazardous substances, Bridges called her local Home Depot for advice. The store told her that the CFL contained mercury and that she should call the poison control hotline. She did that. She had her call directed to the Maine Department of Environmental Protection. The DEP, Department of Environmental Protection, sent a specialist to Bridges' house to test for mercury contamination. The specialist found mercury levels in the bedroom in excess of six times the state's safe level for mercury contamination of 300 billionths of a gram per cubic meter. The DEP specialist recommended that Bridges call an environmental cleanup firm, which reportedly gave her a lowball estimate of $2,000 to clean up the bedroom. The room then was sealed off with plastic, and Bridges began gathering finances to pay for the $2,000 cleaning bill. Reportedly, her insurance company would not cover the cost of the cleanup because mercury is considered a pollutant. Amazing, isn't it? Now, I applaud this gal for realizing this. Now, the CFLs, compact fluorescent light bulb, are the ones that basically have the same base that you're always familiar with. Of course, they just screw into the light socket. And it curls up and around in a spiral. Okay, we've all seen these. These are the new thing. And I have some of these, which they're going to be gotten rid of. I'll tell you that right now. I don't break a lot of light bulbs in any capacity, but this is very, very fascinating. Now, this gal, I applaud her for knowing that there were hazardous substances in this light bulb. I would have assumed it was just like any other light bulb, which I have broken them on occasion. I'd just be like, oh, well, it's a broken light bulb. No big deal. I didn't know they had mercury in them. Maybe it says it on the package. I never even thought to look. Because to me, like I said, it's about saving money. However, if you break this light bulb, then that $4 light bulb, which is supposed to save you, you know, $100 a year or whatever on your electricity bills, well, guess what? $2,000 is something that, well, it basically gave me a heart attack, I'd imagine. So, anyway, it goes on. Given that the replacement of incandescent bulbs with CFLs in the average U.S. household is touted as saving as much as $180 annually in energy costs, and assuming that Bridges does not break any more CFLs, it will take her more than 11 years to recoup the cleanup costs in the form of energy savings. 11 years of if she uses this light bulb continuously, which I doubt she'll use any more of them either, 11 years of these accumulated savings in her power bill in order to recoup the $2,000 plus cleanup costs. That's amazing and astounding. And again, a very, very important story, which you're probably not hearing about. Now, why is that? Well, because this global warming thing, again, has become a fad, and it has, and we've talked about it, where they're talking about green products, right? You can now buy bamboo bed sheets, and you can buy this, and you can buy this, and you can buy this, and you can buy this in exchange for whatever it is you were doing before. And it has been trendy, and it, you know, in a joking manner, there's a lot of little novelty things you can buy to be quote-unquote green. But at the same time, when they're endorsing something like this without telling you about the hazardous side of it, well, that's a real problem for me. Here's what it says. The potentially hazardous CFL is being pushed by companies such as Walmart, which wants to sell 100 million CFLs at five times the cost of incandescent bulbs during 2007. And surprisingly, also it is being pushed by environmentalists. It's quite odd that environmentalists have embraced the CFL, which cannot now and will not in the foreseeable future be made without mercury. Given that there are about 5 billion light bulb sockets in North American households, we're looking at the possibility of creating billions of hazardous waste sites, such as the bridge's bedroom. Usually, environmentalists want hazardous materials out of, not in, our homes. They are the same people who go berserk at the very thought of mercury being emitted from power plants and the presence of mercury in seafood. Environmentalists have whipped up so much fear of mercury among the public that many local governments have even launched mercury thermometer exchange programs. As the activist group Environmental Defense urges us to buy CFLs, it defines mercury on a separate page of its own website as a, quote, highly toxic heavy metal that can cause brain damage and learning disabilities in fetuses and children. They also say, quote, it is one of the most poisonous forms of pollution, end quote. Yet they endorse a product that has this inside of it. Now, look, a broken light bulb, it may not happen often. It only has to happen one time. And this is an important point. I wouldn't have thought of this. Think about it this way, folks. If you rent your home or your apartment or your wherever you live, maybe live in a teepee or something like that, in which case, never mind. It doesn't apply to you. But if you rent a place, let's say an apartment, you move in, you assume that it's been cleaned up and everything's fine and dandy. You wouldn't know that somebody, maybe the previous tenant, had broken a fluorescent light bulb in there. That's a serious issue. Because then you've got, again, mercury poisoning for yourself, your family, your pets, and not ever know it. There's no way to tell unless apparently you have it tested. But again, what's the cost of just the test alone? These are not the kind of things that I would imagine would be disclosed to potential renters of rental properties. And yet it should be a question that maybe is asked. But then again, you can ask the landlord or the manager of an apartment complex and whatnot. There's no way they're going to know, because if the previous tenant never mentioned it to them, they wouldn't know to even look at something like that. And if I was the tenant and I didn't know better, I wouldn't even think to bring that up. Oh, by the way, I broke a light bulb 6 months ago. Who would think of something like that? I wouldn't. Anyway. Greenpeace is also endorsing the CFLs while simultaneously bemoaning contamination caused by a mercury thermometer factory in India. But where are mercury-containing CFLs made? Another interesting factoid I did not know. They're not made in the United States, which has strict environmental regulations. CFLs, compact fluorescent light bulbs, are made in India and China, where environmental standards are virtually non-existent. And let's not forget, writes the author, about the regulatory nightmare in the United States known as the Superfund Law. The EPA regulatory program, best known for requiring expensive and often needless cleanup of toxic waste sites along with endless litigation over such cleanups, will eventually be disposing billions and billions of CFL mercury bombs. Much of the mercury from discarded and or broken CFLs is bound to make its way into the environment and give rise to Superfund liability, which in the past has needlessly disrupted many lives, cost tens of billions of dollars, and sent many businesses into bankruptcy. And there's more, of course, but we have to pause here for a quick commercial break. Please stay with us, folks. Back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them,
You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. The state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. So we're talking about this story here, which you can find at Canada.com. Came out last Saturday, which is April 28th, if you're looking for it. And the headline of the story, which is always an easy way to come across news articles, if you try to go to a website and it doesn't, you know, they don't have it there anymore, you got to pay to read the article, simply throw it in quotation marks, put it in Google, and search the web for it. But it's entitled, quote, "The CFL Mercury Nightmare," end quote. This is very, very important because, folks, as we've talked about, in terms of global warming, there is such a push for this that people are going to at some point be required to cut down on their energy. I don't know. You know, there are so many different ways they can implement it, and it's being begun all over the planet. Various countries are trying to, of course, give the appearance of being ahead of the curve. Look how good we are. We did all this before you had to. We forced our citizenship to comply with these things before the whole world agreed that it was a good idea. That's how smart we are. It's kind of a status thing with them. So what I'm saying is that you've got this situation where you have to trim down your energy consumption in your household. Maybe, I don't know, for a variety of different reasons. So they say you have to cut it back by this much or something. So you're looking for different sort of cost-effective measures, ways to trim down your energy bills. Well, then again, you have something like this being endorsed, these compact fluorescent light bulbs. And without being told, of course, that A, they're not manufactured in the United States. They're manufactured in places that don't have environmental regulations on such things. B, they contain mercury. C, you need a specialist to clean that up. And D, the cost could run you thousands of dollars. And they're endorsing it without telling you. It's a very, very important point. So it goes on. As each CFL contains 5 milligrams of mercury, at the main safety standard of 300 nanograms per cubic meter, it would take, therefore, 16,667 cubic meters of soil to, quote, safely, end quote, contain all of the mercury in one single compact fluorescent light bulb. While CFL vendors and environmentalists tout the energy cost savings of CFLs, they conveniently omit the personal and societal costs of CFL disposals. Not only are CFLs much more expensive than incandescent bulbs and emit light that many regard as inferior to incandescent bulbs, they pose a nightmare if they break and require special disposal procedures. Yet governments, egged on by environmentalists and the Walmarts of the world, are imposing on us such higher costs, denial of lighting choices, disposal hassles, and breakage risks, all in the name of saving a few dollars every year on the electric bill. That's a fantastic piece right there. And I would encourage you to do some research on this, especially if you're an environmentalist and you're outraged by something like this. Like Al Gore, he just peed all over himself when he heard that. Whoa, I can't believe this. So he's very, very heartily offended by something like that. I would say this, and we've had it mentioned on the show before, and it's certainly something to look into. They're not too hard to find, but you look at the LED light bulbs that are available. Those things are supposedly fantastic. As far as the cost goes, they are dramatically better than CFLs and incredibly better than the incandescent bulbs as far as the amount of electricity consumed to generate light. They're also significantly brighter. Now, the bulbs, therefore, are significantly more expensive. But if this is something you're interested in doing, trimming down your costs and maybe ponying up some dough at the top end of your conservation efforts in order to reap the rewards later on, it is definitely the way to go. Just look up LED light bulbs somewhere on Google or whatever. And there are various outlets that will carry such things and certainly ones that you should maybe explore looking into. Anybody that has a Berkey light, for example, those little light bulbs that they have in the bottom base that are exceptionally bright are all LEDs. And, you know, I've had my Berkey now for a couple of years, and I've never had to change one of those little light bulbs. They also have LEDs now available at Christmas lights, but they do have regular conventional light bulbs that you can get. They're, like I said, substantially more expensive than, you know, 25 cents a bulb like you'd go to Walmart and buy the regular bulbs at. But obviously, to my knowledge, the LED bulbs do not contain significant amounts of mercury, and because there are little tiny light bulbs, several of them in a regular light fixture bulb, I can't imagine they'd be, first of all, very easily broken, and second of all, I can't imagine that they would have, you know, that they'd be worse for you than these CFLs. So if you do have these trendy, twisty fluorescent light bulbs, I would urge you to seriously consider getting rid of them in the hopes that you never, ever, 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 ever break one, because $2,000 is in no way, shape, or form saving you money, which is the whole push for these things. Anyway, I just think it's interesting and certainly worth discussing and talking about. There are a number of really important news stories that we'll probably get into here in the final 25 minutes when we come back. However, if you would like to comment on this story or take us in a new direction, feel free to do so while you have the time. 800-313-9443. Otherwise, stay with us back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio and more news.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Folks, glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. Got a couple of stories here that jumped out at me, like the CFL one. This one really doesn't fit into a whole category. I suppose the CFL one could have gone into the environmental issue with a collection of other stories, but it stands on its own as being a very, very important story. Last week, I believe it was, we talked a lot about George Tenet and his new book and him sort of whining about how he was his reputation was ruined because he was being painted as the sole reason why we went into Iraq, which we all know is not the case. But anyway, he's written a book, and we've talked about that. This story came out on Monday, I guess it was, and MSNBC.com had it. And it's some of the details in his book, which it is what it is. You can plainly see that he's kind of making himself out to be a really, really sharp cookie, which anybody who writes a book about themselves will probably do. But it's very noteworthy because it ties in with what one of our guests last night was talking about, Lee Boyland, and it ties in certainly with what we talked about with George Tenet and terrorism and certainly Al-Qaeda in the war on terror, which we know will continue in perpetuity because it's been designed that way. But here is that story. It says, former CIA Director George Tenet's defense of his agency's performance in the lead-up to the war in Iraq will echo from now through Election Day next year, but other disclosures in his book are equally sobering and, in laying out the scope of Al-Qaeda's ambitions, sometimes far more frightening. The book, quote, At the Center of the Storm, end quote, which is being published Monday, reveals that Al-Qaeda or groups affiliated with it have undertaken several other operations aimed at equaling or even surpassing the carnage of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Oh, no. We've heard about these before, correct? Yes, we've heard that there have been plots that have been stopped. In fact, last week when we quoted George Tenet on his torture agenda, he basically said, yeah, you know, a lot of plots have been disrupted. Lives have been saved because of our advanced interrogation techniques, which I call torture. So I look forward to, when I was reading this, I looked forward to reading about some of these very, very intricate plots that that were, you know, stopped. That apparently was to surpass September 11th as far as scope and death and things like that. It says the operations were either thwarted by authorities or were canceled for one reason or another, including efforts to assassinate Vice President Al Gore with anti-tank missiles during a trip to Saudi Arabia, release cyanide in the New York subway system, and procure weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, from Pakistani nuclear scientists. So you could put some validity into these theories, or you can say, you know, where's the proof? I myself would like some proof, and not by way of an actual terrorist attack by any means. It's not something I want to see. But, you know, when you're making these assertions of how the infringement on civil liberties is working as far as keeping us safe, I think that you should have to make the case. You can't just say, well, I can't talk about it, but it's true. That's just not good enough for me. It says in one especially chilling assertion, Tenet reveals that several intelligence sources were indicating in fall of 2001 that a small nuclear weapon may have been smuggled into the United States. We've heard that before as well. So that's not really chilling or new, really. It's just kind of, well, maybe they did and maybe they didn't. I think it's interesting that they say the operations were either thwarted or canceled. Go figure. Tenet discloses that in 1998, Saudi officials foiled a plot by Abdel Rahim al-Nashiri to smuggle four Sager anti-tank missiles from Yemen into Saudi Arabia a week or so before Gore was scheduled to visit the kingdom. Tenet writes that it was reasonable to have expected the Saudis to pass this information along as soon as possible, but they did not. So, you know, presumably he knew about it, and he said he had low-level discussions, and they failed to produce a sense of urgency among the Saudis. So Tenet took it upon himself to fly to Riyadh to meet with Prince Naif, I don't know, the interior minister and the man in charge of the Saudi secret police, and he writes about that account in his book. It says, Tenet said he struggled to maintain polite as Naif filibustered. Eventually, Tenet had enough. He edged toward the prince, put his hand on his knee, and asked, quote, Your Royal Highness, what do you think it would look like if someday I have to tell the Washington Post that you held out data that might have helped us track down Al-Qaeda murderers, perhaps even plotters who want to assassinate our vice president? End quote. Boy, that Tenet, he's a cowboy. He's keeping us safe. He's saving the day. Hooray, George Tenet. Anyway, overall, it says, however, Tenet makes it clear that he had warm relations with Saudi leaders. So George Tenet to the rescue, right? No. It says it right there in the first one. Saudi officials foiled the plot to assassinate Al Gore with anti-tank missiles in Saudi Arabia. So it wasn't even anything that we had to do. In fact, they kept it from us. So how safe are you now with your anti-terrorism measures? It goes on. Tenet's most frightening chapter is on Al-Qaeda's plans to develop weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons. It's titled, quote, They Want to Change the World, end quote. Tenet writes that U.S. intelligence services intelligence agencies, quote, established that Al-Qaeda had clear intent to acquire chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons to cause mass casualties in the United States, end quote. So the U.S. intelligence agencies, which he's quoting here, established that Al-Qaeda wants to do these things. Al-Qaeda wants to kill Americans using some form of weapon of mass destruction, some form of WMDs. Well, that's not proof either, is it? I don't doubt it. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying anything. And I think Al-Qaeda, again, is an organization that's been manufactured, and it's very easy to do that. I've made this analogy on the program before. Let's say I start a club called Cool Persons Club. And you're like, whatever, well, I don't want to join the Cool Persons Club. But then all of a sudden you start hearing, you know, celebrities saying, I'm a member of the Cool Persons Club, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing this. And you start hearing it pop up. All of a sudden you'll be like, I want to be in the Cool Persons Club too, because you start hearing about it. Now imagine these people in other countries who maybe don't have a favorable view of the United States, and they hear about some group who's causing harm to the United States of America, whether real or imagined, whether it's a real group or they're just, you know, being named Al-Qaeda this, Al-Qaeda that. People start going, who's this Al-Qaeda? I want to be a part of that. They're doing something. So again, you just create a terrorist organization by name only, attribute various acts of terrorism to them, and pretty soon you'll have real terrorists wanting to join. So I'm not saying they don't exist now, but what I'm saying is that, again, he's making a somewhat large assumption there, and it's based on intelligence agencies, and hey, they know what they're talking about. I'm just an idiot talk show host who's a college dropout. But what I'm saying is, again, if you're going to exchange freedom for security, and they tell you, trust us, it's working, that's just not good enough for me. Not that I'd give up the freedoms willingly anyway, but it goes on. According to Tenet, intelligence officials learned that Saudi extremist elements were planning to conduct a cyanide gas attack on the New York subway system in fall of 2003 using a homemade device. But first, they requested permission from Al-Qaeda leaders. Now, why would they do that, I wonder? So here you've got these Saudi extremists. They're in New York City. They've got a cyanide bomb that they have made, a homemade device that they're going to use to attack the New York subway system in fall of 2003. So they're ready to go. They're ready to go. So what do? They pick up a phone and they request from Al-Qaeda leaders that they be allowed to do this. They're saying, hey, look, we are ready to go. We are go for attack. Do we have permission? We don't work for you. You know, we're not Al-Qaeda. We're extremists in our own right, serving our own agenda. But let's go ahead and check with you anyway. So they call up Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda says, what? Well, according to Tenet, quote, chillingly, word came back from Ayman al-Zawahiri in early 2003 to cancel the operation and recall the operatives who were already staged in New York because, quote, we have something better in mind, end quote. Really? Does that sound like Al-Qaeda to you? Anybody? Al-Qaeda, they hate us for our freedoms, remember? So you've got these Saudi extremists who presumably are not Al-Qaeda in general. Otherwise, why would they be there? Because they took it upon themselves to do something. Okay, that's kind of what they're saying. These are Saudi extremists. They're operating independent. But for some reason, they call up Al-Qaeda to ask permission. Now, you could say, well, just because they're Saudi extremists doesn't mean they're not Al-Qaeda. In which case, I would say to you, then who sent them to New York in the first place? Who gave them the materials or the ability or whatever, the instruction to go and make this homemade cyanide bomb? And you're saying, well, maybe they're just Al-Qaeda extremists from Saudi Arabia who simply took it upon themselves to do such things. Well, if they did that, then I would counter with this question. If they took all this initiative to get themselves into the United States, to get all these materials acquired either within or brought into the United States, they assembled the homemade bomb. They've done all this on their own. And then at some level, they have a twinge of conscience and they say, well, maybe we should ask permission before we do it. No way. That doesn't make any sense. That's illogical. But you know what's even more illogical? That Al-Qaeda would say, nah, come on back. We've got something better in mind. What? They hate us for our freedoms. They don't hate us for our freedoms some days. They don't hate us for our freedoms only when they do really, really big things. They don't hate us for our freedoms in terms of topping September 11th, but just a piddly cyanide bomb attack. Why? Yeah, we can't do that. So they recall the operatives, said George Tenet. He said, quote, Ayman al-Zawahiri in early 2003 said to cancel the operation, recall the operatives who were already staged in New York because we have something better in mind, he said. So apparently they were al-Qaeda operatives, in which case, why did they go to New York and pull all this stuff off without permission, without the knowledge of al-Qaeda? So are they operating independently, or are they subservient to it? Or is this whole thing just a big fat lie? I'm inclined to think that. Honestly, doesn't make any sense. You think al-Qaeda wouldn't love to have low-level terrorism on an everyday basis somewhere in the United States? Of course they would, because it would facilitate their agenda. What is their agenda? Well, a terrorist is supposed to inspire terror. They're supposed to terrify you. And if we had al-Qaeda attacks, even on par with one person dead or just suicide bombers blowing themselves up every day on various street corners and not killing anybody but themselves and not destroying any property other than their own person, wouldn't that be terrifying in and of itself? Sure it would. But yet, supposedly, al-Qaeda says, nah, come on back home. You know, we've got this big party, and we don't want you to miss it with your whole cyanide bomb attack. And we've got something bigger in mind. This is in 2003, by the way. Here we are, 2007. So you figure 2001 was September 11th. Even if you buy into the official version of events that al-Qaeda pulled that off, you're trying to tell me that they're just going to sit back and wait? They're not going to do anything else? They're going to say, no, 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 let's wait till we have a better opportunity, because the next time we have to do something huge. Because nobody's going to be bothered by just a mere cyanide gas attack in the New York subway system. No way. Why would they? Right? That's not going to cause any problems. Nobody's going to care about that. It's not even going to be newsworthy. Not even Fox News would cover that, says al-Qaeda. Come on back. Don't worry about it. Even though you're already there, even though you already did it, even though you've already got everything in place and you're ready to go, nah, come on back home. Unlikely, in my humble opinion. But yet George Tenet says, like, whew, we sure are lucky they called that one off. Mm-hmm. Story goes on. It is the story of al-Qaeda's efforts to acquire weapons or weapons technology from Pakistan that anchors the most chilling part of that section. The terrorist network made two separate efforts to persuade Pakistani scientists to provide it with nuclear weapons from their stockpile of about 50 nuclear weapons, highly enriched uranium and plutonium, and vast weapons infrastructure. In 1998, Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda's leader, was rebuffed for unclear reasons. About 2 years later, he had better luck when al-Qaeda reached out to a charity for Afghan refugees run by Pakistani nuclear scientists. Why are Pakistani nuclear scientists running a charity for Afghan refugees, I wonder? First thing, maybe it's just me. Hey, what are you doing this weekend, Professor Ahmed? Oh, not much, Professor Muhammad. What are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. Since we're nuclear scientists, maybe we work on nuclear stuff. But I thought, hey, how about we do a change of pace? Let's add more work to our workload, and let's open up a charity for Afghan refugees. Oh, great idea. Unlikely. In 2000, Tenet writes, the charity's founder, Sultan Bashir ud-Din Mahmud, and others at Pakistan's nuclear weapons agency agreed to help Mahmud in his effort to share weapons of mass destruction with the Taliban leaders of Afghanistan. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? Right before we went into Afghanistan, because, of course, that's why we did that. In fact, Tenet says, the U.S. intelligence agencies learned that bin Laden and Mullah Mohammed Omar, the Taliban leader, had met with Mohammed and an aide in August of 2001 in Afghanistan. Also very, very convenient timing. Tenet said he went to Pakistan to meet with President Musharraf, warning about the outrage that would explode if it emerged that Pakistan was allowing nuclear scientists to help bin Laden acquire nuclear weapons. Musharraf poo-pooed the concerns, arguing that bin Laden and his associates were, quote, men living in caves, end quote, who could not possibly take possession of such weapons, Tenet writes. Under interrogation, however, Mahmud subsequently confirmed the details of the August 2001 meeting with bin Laden. At the same time, in the fall of 2001, Tenet writes, U.S. intelligence began picking up rumors from several reliable sources that a small nuclear device had been smuggled into the United States for probable use in New York City. The Energy Department sent detection equipment to New York, he adds. Tenet concludes that a nuclear detonation in a U.S. city is al-Qaeda's ultimate goal. He writes, quote, I'm concerned this is where UBL and his operatives want to go. If they can arrange to set off a mushroom cloud, they make history. My deepest fear is that this exactly what they intend. I think there's a typographical error in there. It doesn't really flow. So Again, the sentence before, Tenet concludes that a nuclear detonation in a U.S. city is al-Qaeda's ultimate goal. But then in the quote that they use here, he says his deepest fear is that that's what they intend. So is it their goal, or is that your fear that that's their goal? Two different things. One's a conclusion, one is an assertion, sort of a worst-case scenario. Anyway, again, so this is the fall of 2001. There were rumors that they had smuggled a nuclear device into the United States to use in New York City. Well, here we are in 2007, and we haven't heard much more about that. So did the Patriot Act keep us safe? No, not in any of these circumstances. The Saudis foiled the plot to kill Al Gore because, of course, they didn't want him to start talking about global warming and get, you know, push away from the oil. That's the conspiracy theorist view. Of course, I'm joking about that. And then the other one is, of course, the big Sinai attack. Did the Patriot Act foil that? No. Al-Qaeda called it off. And this one here about nuclear weapons being smuggled into the United States in New York City. Well, they sent the Energy Department to New York City. Did they send them anywhere else? No. So did the Patriot Act keep us safer there? No. Stay with us. Back in three.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at StovesandMoreOnline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Season.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. The conclusion of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio is upon us. And I got to tell you, just in looking again at this story entitled The Long Reach of Al-Qaeda came out Monday, worth a read. MSNBC.com is where I found it. It talks about all of these horrific plans. Now, this is the former director of the CIA. He's written a book. The book's called At the Center of the Storm. That's where he was. He was at the center of the whole storm. What's the storm? Al-Qaeda, the war on terror, all this stuff leading up to September 11th, the aftermath of September 11th. And what have we learned in this book about the long reach of Al-Qaeda? They wanted to kill Al Gore. Didn't do it. Didn't even really get close, thanks to Saudi Arabia. They wanted to release cyanide in a subway. Oh, wait, no. They called it off. Okay, well, they want to acquire weapons of mass destruction. Ooh, I want $1 million. Don't have it. You're saying, well, they're trying to get it. I'm trying to get it. I'm asking for $1 million from anybody that has it. But guess what? Still hasn't happened. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's just an interesting thing. So, you know, what we're looking at here is, again, the outgoing former director of the CIA writing his tell-all book, which doesn't really tell anything. It's a whole lot of allegation and speculation. Whole lot about how his life is interesting and busy. I'm sure it is. As the director of the CIA, don't you have citizens to imprison? Don't you have torture to approve of? Of course you do, and you did. And supposedly, as he had stated in the news account last week about these advanced interrogation techniques, which in some people's minds, mine included, amount to torture, but maybe not yours, but maybe because you're not being chained up in an uncomfortable position for, you know, 15 hours with the air conditioner blasting and Britney Spears playing at top volume in your ear. I consider that torture. Even any of those things independent of each other are still torture in my mind. But nevertheless, torture is designed to break your mind. And anything that breaks your mind, even if it doesn't physically damage you, is going to be effective. So what I'm saying is that all these torture techniques, what have they done? That's my question. Just like the whole thing with the Patriot Act and we discussed last night, the idea of sacrificing freedoms that, guess what, maybe you didn't even fight for those freedoms. Who are you to say you'll give them up? That's not right. Better people than ourselves have fought and died and bled for our freedoms. And a lot of you out there, you veterans I know, and other people who have done various things to secure our freedoms, God bless you all. They matter to me. And I'm not going to go ahead and say, please take it away, keep me safe, government, because the government's been ineffectual at pretty much everything it's ever done. It hasn't obviously kept us safe from terrorists, have they? I mean, these very, very important highlights from George Tenet's book highlight basically that our government has done nothing. They didn't stop a nuclear weapon from being smuggled in. They heard rumors that they were, but they didn't stop it. They didn't stop Al Gore from being assassinated. The Saudis did. And they didn't stop Al-Qaeda from bombing the New York subway train with cyanide gas. Al-Qaeda did. So how safe do you feel now? Like I said, folks, if you're going to put your faith somewhere, put it in a place that's valid. Put it in something that's not going to let you down, because bureaucracy and big government hadn't really done anything for you or me or any of us. But then there's always God. Consider it. See you tomorrow.
It's true.